best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Ron and Anian.
But do you ever look at the tech working on the car? Does he have a tune in his head? Does he hear the music of the day? Is he looking at that job in front of him thinking, yeah, I can do this? And he becomes one with that project?
The Car Doctor.
The reason why manufacturers don't like oil additives is for fear of what sort of contamination it's going to impose on the catalytic converters.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Here's Ronnie.
Chances are your mechanic's doing something wrong. And I've got to base that on analytical information. We probably did close to 18 or 19 oil changes this week. 18, I think, was the number. The 19th didn't really count as an oil change for some other reasons. But out of 18 oil changes, we found 15 cars that didn't have simple things done correctly. The oil change sticker wasn't on right. The oil level was low prior to...
Tom?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Listen, I'm trying to do the open now. What's the matter?
We have a very... very, very important call for you on the hotline.
Tom, what is more important? You know, this is a national show, Tom. What's more important than the opening? Come on.
Ron.
Who is this?
It's the North Pole.
Oh.
I think you better take this.
I better take this. Okay. Put him through. Hello?
Is this the party to whom I am speaking?
It's Ron and Anian.
Please hold for the big guy, the head honcho, the jolly one, the big kahuna of Christmas. Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. How you doing, Ron?
Uh-oh. Hi, Santa. How are you?
I'm doing fine in yourself. How you doing, my friend? You been a good boy? You and Tom?
I've been a good boy. Tom, not so good. Me, I've been great.
Hey, better be nice to me.
I know what I'm getting Tom this year.
Yeah, I don't want to throw Tom under the bus, Santa, but Tom's been a little naughty. I've been good, though, Santa. I want that train set under the tree this year.
All right, well, we'll see what happens come next Friday, okay?
Yeah.
Oh,
I appreciate it, Santa. Has everything been good at the North Pole? Everybody, you all set? You all ready for your trip around the world?
No, not really. My elves are giving me problems. We're running out of face masks and hand sanitizers. Can you help us?
Santa, I have inventory of face masks and hand sanitizer. If you want, I could send it to you.
Please, that will definitely help me and Mrs. Claus.
Oh.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, absolutely. Now, listen, are you all ready for the ride around the world? You know, everybody's kind of anticipating you. Now more than ever, we need a little Santa Claus, right? And
Yes, we do.
And we need our Christmas, and we need our holidays, whatever we're going to celebrate. And we need to know that you're ready to go. And that's just, it's so important this year, Santa. We've got to make sure you get around the world like you're supposed to. A lot of kids of all ages and sizes are dependent on you. You know that.
Oh, yes. No, without a question. We'll be fine. But like I said, I just need you to come up to the North Pole. Make sure my elves are okay and my sled is all right so I can go around and bring joy to everybody. Ho, ho, ho.
You know, I've got to tell you, Santa, this year I'm working on vertical takeoff. We're gonna lift straight up because we can't. I don't think we're going to have the runways. You know, we have to stay 6 feet apart and everything is getting more crowded now. So I've worked out a vertical takeoff procedure for the reindeer that I'm teaching them which way to pull, and we're just going to go straight up. So I'm going to come with you this year if that's okay. I've already got a little caboose attached to the back of the sleigh so I can be 6 feet back. And I'll just be like the flight engineer and traipse along. And, you know, now I've got to get back by, you know, next week because I've got to do the show. Obviously, I've got to be here. So we're going to have to time this just right. Can you drop me off in New Jersey when you get back over the United States?
Sounds like a plan, Ron. Sounds like a plan. And also, we have to bring Tom, the naughty boy of the crew. Okay.
We're going to bring Tom to the North Pole this year.
Yes, because he's a naughty boy.
Well, yeah, he has been.
That works for me.
He has been a naughty boy. You ought to hear some of the things Tom's done this year, Santa. It's really just absolutely crazy. It's been a crazy year, but we're really thrilled to hear from you and all that you do. And you know, it's a good sign. You know what? Back in March, April, you wondered if there was going to be a Christmas, and here we are. It's Christmas, and we're 2 weeks away from New Year's, and you know, we're just looking forward to the new year and all that comes with it. So I know you have a busy schedule, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Problems, you know, I have one question though, Santa, on a serious note. Were there any issues getting the elves to work together this year? You had to practice social distancing, right?
But we took care of that. That's why I need to bring Tom up to the North Pole, you know, since he's the naughty one, and he'll get everyone straight. Right, well, Tom? Ho, ho, ho.
Well, you know, if you show the elves Tom, they'll realize what naughty looks like. And then all of a sudden they'll straighten out and fly right.
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, well, Tom is the original bad boy. Santa, I know you got to go. I'm not going to hold you. It's just too much to do. But you go about your business, and I'll be up there. I'll be up there no later than Wednesday this week coming, because I've got to prep the sleigh, make sure the reindeer get plenty of sleep, and you too. And I'll be there. I've got your back. Okay, I'll be your flight engineer this year. No problem.
Sounds like a plan, Ron. Merry Christmas, everyone. Ho, ho, ho.
Always good to hear from Santa. Hey, Tom, that was great. I don't know how you managed to time these things just right. Let me just real quick finish what I was talking about before Santa interrupted me, but I'll let Santa interrupt me. So let me just finish my initial opening thought before Santa called. You know, is your mechanic doing the right thing? And this week, out of all those oil changes that we did, there was just, you know, little things. Drain plug gaskets weren't changed. You know, oil filters were on, but they were on so tight, more than a few required superhuman strength to get them off. And it makes me wonder, okay, how good of a job are they doing if they can't do an oil change correctly? You know, how good are they taking care of the rest of the car? I shocked one customer. He came in, Dan, new customer, he came in with a Subaru. And the drain plug gasket on a Subaru it's a crush style gasket. It's designed, it's a one-time use, throw it away and put another one on every time you change the oil. And I showed him the gasket as it came off. It was crushed completely flat and distorted to the point that it had been used more than a few times. And I pointed out to him the rationale here is, at some stage, that vehicle is going to have issues if they continue to do that with the drain plug stripping the threads or breaking the oil pan itself, because a lot of the oil pans today are either spot welded nuts on the inside of the steel pan, or they're aluminum threads into an oil pan that will eventually wear out and strip out. It's so important. You know what? The next time you get an oil change, and the next time you think you're trying to save money and you're asking yourself, hey, how expensive could an oil change be? Take a look at your invoice. They should be charging you on most cars for oil, a filter, maybe some additional chemicals, washer fluid, things like that, antifreeze. But on the majority of cars, they should be charging you for a drain plug gasket. All right? They're replaceable on Fords. They're replaceable on Toyotas. They're replaceable on Subaru, GM products, Chrysler products. There aren't many cars out there that don't have replaceable drain plug gaskets. And the fact is, if they're changing the drain plug gasket now, chances are you won't have to replace the oil pan later on somewhere down the road as this car ages with you. So just keep it in mind. Listen, small points become big points, and that's how we build better cars or make cars better and build better mechanics. So just a tip of advice from the Car Doctor. Hey, we've got a lot going on this hour. There's a lot of calls. We're going to pull over and take a pause, but we are here at 855-560-9900. I am Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're also giving away an O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card this week. I don't know if it's this hour or next hour. Decision of the judges, namely Tom Ray, original bad boy, himself, is final. We've also got a couple of books to give away for you. The Corvette book. I believe we've got some others that we're giving away this week in our final holiday giveaway, trying to get things out to you. So stick around, 855-560-9900. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
Little GTO, you're really looking fine. Three deuces and a four-speed.
Need advice on how to maintain that classic GTO? Ron is the guy. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Welcome back. You know, that was just, wasn't it great to hear from Santa? Just good stuff. Always good this time of year to kind of get in the Christmas spirit. And in keeping with that Christmas spirit, This hour, give me away a couple of things. We're going to empty the gift closet. Classic Car Adventures, Dr. Richard McCann. We've got one copy left, and it's going to a caller this hour, I promise. So line up on the phones, 855-560-9900. Let's go over to John, Bronxville, New York. John, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi. Our car, the car stalls. You know, it stalled over the years, but now it's become, you know, it's more frequent. And I put my foot on the gas, and I'm driving along, put my foot on the gas, nothing. And it stops, and after about 3 or 4, maybe 10 minutes, it starts up again. It's never not started,
right?
But it just goes out.
Okay, so has anybody tried to diagnose, repair this? I mean, this is 30 years old, so there's a lot. There's a lot this could be. Has anybody taken any shots?
Yeah,
at this?
I've had the same mechanic for a while, and they've, you know, he really doesn't have an idea because, you know, it doesn't happen when he's around.
Right.
You know, and even if I stall it and he comes, the damn thing is, you know, it's ready to start up again.
Right.
So,
right.
So he said it could be a fuel pump, a relay or something like that. By the way, I know nothing about cars. So,
okay.
You know, I'm
okay. So let me it out for you like this. You ever have a bad light? You ever have a light not work in the house? Like a light bulb?
Yeah.
Right. And what do you usually do? Usually you put a light bulb in it and that fixes it, right?
Right.
But if it wasn't a light bulb and it was intermittent, that it didn't happen all the time, how would you diagnose it? A simple electrical circuit like that.
Beats the heck out of me.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
So let me walk you through it, all right? What if we took an auxiliary light bulb and put it at the switch in the wall, all right?
Yeah.
And every time you turned on the light, whether the light bulb lit or not, that bulb lit. And that by that bulb lighting, we know what? We know there's power going to the component. Make sense?
Right? Yep.
What if we did that with the car? Now, Volkswagens of this generation, I could talk about fuel system issues that this has from now until the end of the show. Rather than go through that, and we could talk about cleanliness of gas, and yes, they have fuel pump issues. They also had a lot of ignition switch issues in the late 80s.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
So, you know, talk to your mechanic. Could he wire in a side marker bulb? We call it a side marker bulb. It's a little tiny marker, or 194 is the part number, side bulb. I would, and I've done it to cars like yours. I've done it to other makes and models, too, where I would just wire in a bulb feeding power to and from the ignition switch. Now when the car stalls, John, there's power coming into the ignition switch, the white bulb is lit. If there's power coming out of the ignition switch all the time, and you'd put a different color bulb in, an amber color. You know, what if it was as simple as an ignition switch? Because the truth is, does it cut out like somebody turned the key off, or is it a does it stutter? Is it just die clean?
No, it's kind of like dies clean, like
right.
Somebody just turned it off.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Well, so I must say this, sometimes it shakes a little bit before, but very, you know,
right.
Not very noticeable.
Well, let's not rule out we've got two problems. It is 32 years old, right? So
yeah, right.
You know, let's do this. It's cheap and simple to do. He can probably do it in under an hour, all right?
Okay.
Wire in. So, you know, he would go to his auto parts store. He's probably got the bulbs and sockets in stock. And the idea is that you're going to tap into the wiring harness, tap in a bulb for power into the switch, tap in a bulb for power out of the switch. Or you could just do one. Do one for power out of the switch if it's really tight and it doesn't work. The idea being that if that bulb goes out and that's when the car stalls, you just eliminated 80% of the car because you know the problem is from the ignition switch up to its power supply. Right? Makes sense?
Now, Ron, it does make sense. Let me ask you, so where would the bulbs be?
What do you mean, where would the bulbs be?
In other words, I'm driving along, right, and it goes out. And what would happen to the bulbs then?
Well, here's the...
Oh, this would be in his shop. Is that what you're saying?
No. This would be so you can position these bulbs with the wiring harness so that they're shining down at your feet, that they're, you know, you could extend the wire so that it's laying on the dashboard by the Speedo. So when the car cuts out, you don't take your eyes off the road. You're looking at those bulbs.
Right.
Those bulbs are going to be lit. Now,
Right.
You know, sometimes depending upon where you position them, we'll use a dull bulb. I'll actually paint the bulb a color so that it's not this right. glaring white light staring me in the face at night that I'm going blind, that I can't see the road. You know, sometimes I'll get little Christmas light bulbs and I'll use those. I had to get a holiday dig right. in there. Okay. You know, the idea is, though, that that bulb is your monitor. Listen, I could accomplish the same thing if I drove around in your car with a voltmeter. I can't do that. And you can't do that, and right. he can't do that. So that bulb then becomes the test device. And it's just that simple.
Okay. So he does that.
Right.
And I stall. Now the bulb then would be off.
Right. If
I
that
would imagine,
if
right?
if that
yeah,
bulb okay. if that if the whatever that bulb is wired to, in this case the ignition switch, let's go back right. to the light bulb in your house. Right? You've got power to the yep. wall switch on one side, and then the other side of the switch gets completed when you turn the switch, and it lights the bulb right in the ceiling. Right?
Right.
So your wall switch is your ignition switch. You've got a power feed coming in and a power feed out to the car coming out. You wire that bulb gotcha. Into the power feed coming out so that mm-hmm. when you start the car, it's got to turn everything on, just like that wall switch for the light bulb. Right?
Got it.
Now
yep.
when it happens, that bulb will be lit all the time. If that bulb's not lit right. and it's wired correctly, the car's not running.
Got it.
Gotcha?
So, I gotcha.
That's the deal. You do that and you call me
Good.
Back if he's got any questions. If he wants to hear this yeah. description, you're in the first hour of today's show. So in about 36 hours, the podcast will be up. You can tell him to go grab the podcast. Just Google my name, Ron Anani, and the Car Doctor. It comes up as a podcast, and you can listen to it again.
Let me ask you one question before you go. What station are you on that I can get you on the radio from 2 to 4?
Depends where you are.
I want to listen to
123 markets around the country. I don't know off the top, I don't know off the top of my head in relation to Bronxville, John. But if you send me if you send your info to us, ron@cardoctorshow.com, we'll look and see.
Right.
All right, sir?
Good enough. Hey, you've been a big help.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Have a good Christmas. Right.
You too, sir. Take good care. Diagnosing cars is take it out of the car, put it on the bench. How would you tell if it's good or bad? And that's the biggest thing. And if you can't be there, what would you do for it? And just break it down into simple English. And sometimes that's all it takes. Listen, I had a customer, Gordon, good customer. He's a little adventurous. He was working on his daughter's Nissan, and he took it to the car's up in Vermont. I should point that out. And he took it to a couple of mechanics up there. Nobody could figure it out. The problem was that he had a problem with the power windows. And then he realized the power window switches were interchangeable. He took the right switch, made it the left, made the left switch, take it to the right. The problem followed the switch. He knew what to do. And sometimes you just got to think outside the box, make it simple, break it down into common, easy to understand everyday thought process. It doesn't have to be complicated. Not all the time. Sometimes, yes. Hey, I'm Ron Anani, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Stick around. We're coming back right after this, and perhaps there's a book in your future should you pick up the phone and give us a call. Don't go away.
Thumpity, thumpity, look at Frosty go.
Look at the Car Doctor go. Hey, Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, we're back. Let's get over and talk to John, Altoona, Pennsylvania. John, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir.
Hi, Ron. I was listening to your show last week. It was really good. I really liked your story about talking about the waiting room and you fixing the customer's car. And last week I put my 2018 SS Camaro away for the winter, and I had mice problems last year, and I set all these traps. I caught at least 10 of them before I put it away, and I wanted to get your opinion on these sonar mice go away things.
I haven't used one yet, John, but I like it. I keep reading about them. I haven't had a big enough problem to go further. I actually have traps set up at the house, you know, where I have a professional exterminator come in, and for a couple $100 a year, he does the whole house, and, you know, he puts the traps up against the wall, the little sticky boxes that they walk through. What I've learned is you're supposed to put the traps up against the perimeter of whatever it is you're trying to protect, because mice, like a lot of animals, as they go through their perimeter, they kind of walk, you know, they won't walk in the middle of the floor. They walk against the wall where it's a safer sense to them, I guess. And, you know, that's where John always puts the traps. The other thing I've used with some degrees of success is mothballs and plastic bags lined in the corners. And then, you know, you could get a cat, but then that's something else to take care of, you know.
That's good advice there. I'll have to... Boy, it's a big problem because you know how much damage they can do.
And, oh, yeah.
Maybe you could tell us people a story about a mice problem you had years ago. The damage they do is unbelievable.
Well, John, the issue is that it's just never one wire. I've had mice take out the car where they'll chew their way through the wiring harness where you've got to actually, you know, you're putting an engine compartment harness in or you're putting an interior harness in. And it's really, you've got to really be mindful, you know, of the fact that mice can get into everywhere and everything. And, you know, that's an issue. It's really a big problem. You're out in Altoona, John. You must be listening to us on WRTA.
Yes, AM 1240. It's really a good show. Like I said, your stories you tell, it isn't all just about nuts, bolts, and tools, but, you know, sometimes your storytelling of the customer in the waiting room, I just thought that was pretty good story. My next question's this. I got two little dogs, Bichon Shih Tzus, and they go in this Camaro with me, and they keep jumping on this toggle switch in the middle. And I don't know if that's going to cause any damage. Do you have an opinion on this toggle switch the dogs jump on?
What's the toggle switch for, John?
It goes, you know, track mode, race mode.
Well, what you could do is you could cover it. All right,
you don't want to.
So listen, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make it easy for you. You need something to cover that switch, right?
Now that's easy, and I didn't even think of it. But you know, it's a dog thing and mice thing, and that's a good answer. Yes, it is.
You also.
And my last question.
Yeah.
My last question. I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Is the new Corvette going from a front engine to a rear engine? I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. Don't hang up too soon, because I'll tell you what. I'm going to answer your question. I'm also going to solve your Camaro problem, because we're going to be sending you with a complete book of Corvette. You're going to get our last copy, brother. Merry Christmas. You know, it's as you know, we've had Michael Muller on the show talking about it. It's hardcover bound. It covers all current model year Corvettes. It's got detailed color pictures. For a car guy like you, you're going to have a Merry Christmas sitting down looking at this, and it'll make a perfect spot. You can keep the dogs from jumping on the traction switch. As for the mid-engine Corvette, we were just informed that the same publishing house that puts out the complete book of Corvette is going to be releasing to us in mid-February or March. They've done a complete workup story about the mid-engine Corvette, and we're going to be one of the first ones to get a copy of that book and review it up here on air, so you guys have that to look forward to in the new year.
Yes.
We'll be talking about that as well. Stay on the phone, John. Don't run away. Let Tom get your information, and we'll be sending out this copy of the complete book of Corvette by Michael Muller, a car guy's dream, just everything you've always wanted to know about Corvette, production numbers, RPO codes, everything under the sun. It's all there, so enjoy it. Merry Christmas from us at the Car Doctor, and thanks for being part of the family and listening to us on WRTA. So we really very much appreciate it. Let's get on over and talk to, can we go over and talk to Larry in Orlando, Florida? Larry, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Greetings, Ron. What a tremendous program you
have.
I thought your observations on the mice were extremely helpful. I just wanted to follow up on a call you had several weeks ago that was very helpful. It was describing a matter you'd run into the shop with removing exhaust manifolds from a Camry using a heat and water treatment.
Yep.
And this is what we've got, Ron. It's a little bit of an oddball matter. We're working to restore a 1962 Volkswagen Transporter pickup.
Oh, cool.
And as you might recall, that they, like the Beetles and the other buses in the air-cooled series, have an exterior hinge.
Yeah, on the outside.
And there's a pin in it. And originally, I think there were supposed to be rubber caps on top. But in this instance, the pin is rusted solid into each of the hinges such that we can't open either door. The doors are very thin anyway.
Right.
We've tried treating it with PB Blaster. without any luck so far for about 6 months, and also Croyle, a wonderful man that has a used Volkswagen salvage yard out in Nevada and California, suggested heating them, but he said that a torch wouldn't be sufficient, like a propane torch. We'd need like a welder type guy that knew how to heat them. But I just was wondering, if the car was in your shop, which is where it would be if we weren't in Florida, Ron, how would you think about tackling it?
I would do it. I would either use, and I always start mild, Larry. You know, I always try to go slow. Mild goes wild is my motto, has been forever. In that I've got the torches handy, but I also have something. It's an electric heater. It's made by Innovation Solutions, I think it is, an inductive heater that actually has a heating coil on the end of a wand that gets plugged in, and it would give me the ability to apply direct heat. So I could actually, with a tightly wound coil of wire, go right around the area of the hinge I want it to concentrate on. It won't apply so much heat that I'm going to deform something, but it's heat in a way that it wakes things up. All right, if I can say it like that. And then yes. I would probably go through, you know, listen, I'm something you're going to have to buy yourself for the holidays, right? Everybody needs one.
Yes.
And the inductive heaters, and a lot of the tool manufacturers have them now. I believe Innovation was the first ones to market. They're out on the web somewhere. I believe Innovation is the name of the company. You know, Snap-on sells them, Mac Tool sells them, they're up there. But, you know, using heat, sometimes it's not just heat. Sometimes it's heat and then freeze it. Heat and then cool it. You know, it's that sudden shock. It's that thermal, you know, that reaction to the temperature change that causes the rust or the barrier to break free from the component it's adhered itself to. And then after that, I'm going to start thinking about the torch. Or at the very least, can I warm it up and get it to move that I can open the door, not necessarily remove the pin? And then once I get it off, can I open the door? Once I get it to open, can I open the door, remove the hinge? I'm trying to remember. I know what it's like on the body side. I'm trying to remember what it's like on the door side. If I got the hinge off, could I throw it in a tank of something, you know, a mixture of PB and maybe automatic transmission fluid, let it circulate and soak through, and, you know, work its restoration magic on it while you're doing the rest of the car? And
what's really weird with the hinges, having looked at one in the junkyard in California, was that the hinge that attaches to the door is actually welded into the door.
Yeah, that's
it's a really old.
That's the way. Yeah, that's the way they did it. Yep.
It's weird, but your thoughts are tremendously helpful, Ron. Could I just ask you specifically the name of the tool? It would be an inductive heater.
You're looking for I would Google search automotive inductive electric heater. And I believe the name of the company that manufactures it goes by the name of Innovation Technologies. I'm not 100% certain. When I pull over and take the pause, I'll jump on a computer and I'll look and I'll mention it on air when I come back. And we'll get it up on our Facebook page. Okay. Or we'll get it up on our Facebook page.
Best for a wonderful holiday. The show is phenomenal, particularly the stories from the shop. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome, Larry. Guys like you and everybody else, you guys all make it worthwhile. That's why we're here. We're here for you. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas to all. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Brian in Massachusetts, 99 Suburban. What's going on here, Brian? Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
So I've had this car since new, and it's got a lot of miles on it, a little over 300,000. And
just broken in.
Yeah. And I try to do most of the maintenance myself. There's a fellow with an independent shop that I bring it to when I think it's outside of my range. And what's going on with the car is for a number of years I've been putting up with an issue where I can't rely on the car to go between, say, floor and bi-lev on the vent and defrost. And it has electric motors controlling the different doors. There are three different motors controlling it.
Right.
And the one that is supposed to switch to defrost, I replaced myself a few years ago. And then when that didn't fix it, I kind of ran it by the local shop, and it seemed to me that he didn't really want to deal with it. So I brought it to a dealership, and they called back and said they wanted to replace the motor, and so I let them do it. They're the pros, and that didn't work. I've just kind of lived with it.
Wait a minute. Back up. You've got a 99 Suburban, and it's not putting heat where?
To defrost. I can't rely on it. So what I do is in the summer, I set the car to come out the vent doors. That is where the air is directed at the passengers.
Okay. When you
and then in the
when
winter.
You, when you do that, Brian, does the door move freely?
Mm-hmm. No. So, well, it will eventually, maybe in a week.
When you, because I know what you're doing, you're opening the glove box, you're pulling the actuator off the side of the case, and you're flipping the door by hand, right?
Oh, no. I'm using the actual, there's a HVAC head.
Okay, you're using the control head to move it. Okay. All right.
Correct. And when I change it to defrost, say it's summertime and winter's coming, and I know I have to have defrost because you can't drive the car without defrost, I then set it to defrost, and maybe it will go straight to defrost, but more likely I may have to wait a couple of days of driving around before it moves to defrost.
Right.
But sometimes it just changes right away. So what I do is in the summer, I keep it set to AC, and in the winter, I keep it set to defrost because, you know, I've done some things. But I'm pretty sure from having read different things that what has to happen is I think the dash has to get pulled and the HVAC unit back there needs to be rebuilt. And my question is, the independent shop that I use, I hate to saddle him with a job that he may not want to do. Maybe it's not profitable on book time or something.
Right.
And so then I bring it to the dealership, but it was apparent to me when I dealt with the dealership that they didn't want to pull the dash either. And I think it's kind of outside of my range. So who do I bring it to
well,
fix it? I'm happy. I'm not quibbling over price.
Right.
I'll pay
you just
what
want
they,
it fixed. It's, you know, listen, it's sometimes when it comes to book time on certain jobs, my answer is if the book thinks it can do it in that time period, let the book do it. But it takes a human being to actually repair the vehicle. And I would go talk to your guy. Listen, you know what? Auto repair is about the relationship. In my opinion, successful auto repair is about the relationship. And there's a lot of things we do at the shop that other people will look at and go, wow, that was expensive. And I'll go, yeah, but it's fixed. And you're not coming back twice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just as simple as go talk to your guy and say John or Fred or whatever his name is. You know, listen, I think we got to pull the dash. I want you to change all the actuators. And, you know, I want you to make sure the blend doors are working. And you know what? If we have to, we'll put a control head in it because I'm not getting rid of this truck because it's $60,000. And, I'm not buying another one.
Yeah, that is the way I look
at
it.
Right, and I'm not buying another one. And, you know, if the book says 5 hours, do you think you could do it in 10? Do you think you could do it in 15? If I leave you the truck for 2 weeks in the middle of January when business is traditionally slow in auto repair, could you make it the shop job and kind of pick at it? Have that conversation with them. Go and talk to him about that because the relationship with this guy is so much better than trying to do it the other way, taking it to the dealer that, like you said, they don't know you. They're looking at flat rate. How fast can they bang it out? And I think that's going to be much better for you in the long run. Good luck to you, Brian. I appreciate the call. I'm Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. I'm back right after this.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
I won't be blue because I'll be right here and I'll have all of you guys with me in my thoughts as we go through the Christmas holidays. I really appreciate everybody being with us, this year. And what a tough year to get through, right? But here we are. For Larry in Florida, for everybody else, I know, Larry, I wasn't supposed to do this, but Tom did it. It's not me. It's his fault. The name of the tool Tom looked up, and he's right, is the Inductor. So you go to theinductor.com. They're the ones. They've got all the mobile. They've got a mobile version now of an electronic heater, and it gives you the ability to apply heat outside the shop, as well as they make a big version for inside the shop. You're trying to get rusty nuts and bolts loose. Theinductor.com's got all the information you're looking for. Looking at the Car Doctor Facebook page, and I love looking at the Facebook page while we're doing the show. You guys come up with some interesting questions and comments. Doug writes in, hey, Ron, I'm driving both cars 20 minutes per week, including on I-75 to keep them both in decent shape, a 2009 Toyota Venza and a 2017 Acura RDX. Any further thoughts? You know what, Doug? It's something. At least you're trying. You know, probably the most repairs, I was just saying this to someone this week, the most repairs we did in the shop this year, looking back, it was brake jobs for rusty rotors, batteries that just couldn't be revived and had sulfated themselves to death, and way overdue state inspections. The problem is the vehicle fleet kept sitting this year, and it's going to be a problem even next year until we come out of this thing 100% and we can all start driving again. And we look forward to that with each and every one of you. But you keep doing that, Doug. You're on the right track. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor, thanking you for being here, reminding you good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.